county fairs and rodeos ain't a better place for my kids to grow. Just turn them loose in the western summertime.
And a great big good morning, y'all.
Summer's evening, while the prairie moon was blazing in her eyes.
What do you say we spend a Saturday morning together?
I live beneath these western skies.
Beautiful, gorgeous Arizona skies this morning. Good morning. You're tuned in to Rosie on the House. We have got some headlines to cover for you today. 10 o'clock, we're going to bring in some bathroom design specialists. You were saying that our advanced post of the topic at 10 o'clock has just got run over at Facebook?
Yeah, people are excited, so okay. Tune in.
Bathroom trends. And we're going to talk about bathroom history as well. Do you think it's coincidental that commercial toilet paper was invented the same year a toilet got installed in the White House?
A little correlation there,
and
you think?
And we'll be covering more exciting details like that all in the 10 o'clock hour. So we've got lots of historical bathroom notes as well as future trends to talk about. It's going to be a fun hour. 9 o'clock, the hour is yours, the Arizona homeowner, to give us a ring and talk to us about anything you've got going around your house, home, castle, or cabin. Let us try and put our experience to work for you, giving you advice and tips and tricks of the trade on getting your project finished and wrapped up. At 8 o'clock hour, of course, it's the outdoor hour. We'll have John J. Harper joining us, and we'll be talking about everything, anything having to do with landscaping, gardening, hedging, and trimming. And the 7 o'clock hour has just kind of become Rosie's fun hour, where I can just talk about anything I want. And boy, are you like me? Is your like little inquisitive mind a little peaked when you start hearing reports from a couple weeks ago of earthquake swarms in northwest Arizona?
You've really been digging down on this topic.
Digging down on the earthquakes. That's what it's all about.
All right.
And I still need to get the GPS coordinates for that quake that hit Black Canyon City last year, because I've still got people. If you're a listener and you signed up to go on the geocaching trip where we're going to plant a Rosie on the House geocache at the epicenter of that earthquake, you can go ahead and email us at rosieonthehouse.com and just put in there geocache the quake, and you'll be a part of the team that goes out and plants that geocache. We'll try and get that done here before it gets hot. Well, not being an earthquake expert, but being an earthquake curious guy, I had to recruit out to an expert. We've got the resident expert on Arizona earthquakes joining us this morning, Dr. Lee Allison. He's Arizona State Geologist and Director of the Arizona Geological Survey. Dr. Allison, a fine Saturday good morning to you, and thanks for joining us.
Oh, happy to be on here, Rosie.
Oh, man. And I'm like reached out and grabbed you and said, hey, will you come on and talk to us about the swarms happening in the Northwest? And you said, you know, that may not even be the most important thing going on in Arizona right now.
Yeah, there's another swarm going on in the very far southeast part of the state, near the little village of Duncan, where there was a magnitude 5.3 earthquake in June of 2014. And in the last few weeks, we've seen over 300 small earthquakes following up, which we think it's a swarm, but we think they're part of the aftershock series of that event, which was the largest event in that region in 75 years.
So we have the quaking going on up near that Parashant National Monument, right? The Grand Wash Cliffs, the far, far northwest border of where Nevada and Arizona kind of come together at the little point there.
Right.
And then we've got it going at Duncan.
Right. Opposite ends of the state. It's we've never detected swarms like this before. And so we don't know if this is unusual or it happens all the time. And we finally now have enough of our seismometers out that we can detect them. So we're studying these with a lot of interest, trying to understand what's going on. So it's got our team pretty busy.
Now, in my little pea brain, I'm drawing a line through the state from those two locations. And, like, am I drawing a line almost on top of the Mogollon Rim? Isn't that very parallel with the Mogollon Rim?
Well, yes and no. The southern, southwestern half of the state, or third of the state, is part of the Basin and Range Province, and the Mogollon Rim is the dividing line between the geologic Basin and Range and the Colorado Plateau. And the Basin and Range across the western U.S. is a very seismically active part of the country. And in Utah and in Nevada in particular, that's where most of the earthquake activity occurs. But we don't have a single fault or even zones of faults that look like they just line that Mogollon Rim line as you draw it across the state. In fact, the earthquakes up in the far northwest part of the state are occurring in an area that's part of the Intermountain Seismic Belt. And that actually runs from Montana down through Idaho all the way through Utah, and it dies out in very far northwestern Arizona and going over the line a little bit into Nevada. And those faults are mostly north-south trending. And you mentioned the Grand Wash cliffs. There is a Grand Wash fault there, and that's the barrier or boundary between the Grand Wash cliffs and the basin. And so the earthquake swarm that we're monitoring there is between the Grand Wash Fault and the Mesquite Fault, south of the town of Mesquite, Nevada, and it's falling in there.
Now, are these swarms, could they be foretelling of something bigger to happen? I mean, I'm thinking, you know, I'm still hung up on the Mogollon Rim. That's got to be this large upthrust. I mean, is the little town of Christopher Creek about ready to become the next La Jolla?
We don't think so. And excuse me, my allergies are kicking in here, so I'm a little bit hoarse this morning. But the faults we see up in that part of the state in the northwest run for some tens of miles, but they're not the big giant faults like the Wasatch Fault around Salt Lake City or the San Andreas Fault going through California. So we don't have evidence or history of very large earthquakes up there. And as I mentioned, these are the first swarms that we've ever been able to monitor and evaluate here in Arizona. But when we see swarms like this in other parts of the country and around the world, typically they're not associated with foreshocks or, you know, small earthquakes before a much larger one. Our experience has been in looking at these kinds of swarms, they tend to be relatively similar in size. So the largest one we've seen up in the northwest part of the state is about a magnitude 3.7, but almost all of them are between magnitude 1 and 2.5. We've had a couple between 2.5 and 3, but most of them are in the 1 to 2 magnitude.
If you were there, could you feel those?
If you were right there on top of it, you might be able to feel a magnitude 2.5 to 2.7, yes. The 3.7, definitely people felt that, even though it's a sparsely populated area. There were reports, and the further away you are, the less likely.
Now, not only can y'all identify the epicenter location of where the quake kind of originates, but you can kind of measure how deep these are occurring, where they're sourcing down below the surface, as I understand.
Right. When we show them on the map, that's the epicenter. That's the spot on the map above where the earthquake occurred. So these typically... you expect the earthquake to occur on one of the active faults, and it may be a mile down, it may be 10 miles down, and sometimes the much larger quakes are down there at many, many tens of miles. So I think in looking at our list, we're seeing these things relatively shallow, but some of them do go down to 5 to 8 miles deep. Now, I have to caution that we don't have instruments right on top of this area, and trying to calculate the depth of these is more difficult than calculating the surface epicentral location. So our depths are, you know, we have a big error bar on those, but these are relatively shallow from everything we've seen.
And how many of these seismic indicators do we have buried in Arizona?
Now, when you say seismic indicators, you mean faults or our monitoring stations?
The monitoring stations.
Okay, sorry. We run 8. The Arizona Geologic Survey runs 8 stations, and that forms the backbone of the statewide network. Northern Arizona University has a small network of older-style instruments focused around the Flagstaff area and north of there, because historically that's been the most active part of the state for earthquakes. And then there's a couple of stations run by the U.S. Geological Survey and national groups like that, and we link into those. But when you compare that we might have somewhere around 15 to 20 stations total across the state, and about a half a dozen of those are very old and use a technology that makes it difficult to get the full range of earthquakes. Compare that to California, where they have over 3,000 stations.
Do those stations lay on top of the ground? They're buried? What do they look like?
Right. Both. Our permanent stations we have in concrete vaults, and they're about 4 to 5 feet below the ground. And then the concrete vault is capped off, and we have the communication gear on the surface. Now, we do have a couple of portable seismometers where we have one out in the Duncan area where we've just had those 300 aftershocks. And that one is basically installed at the surface, just dig down a few inches to get a good contact. But that's a portable instrument.
Well, these earthquakes have sure gone a long way in grabbing everyone's attention. I've seen the headlines in the traveling I do. I even see it in the cities I'm at. They're talking about these earthquake swarms. But that's not the only thing the Arizona Geological Survey is involved in. They had just recently completed mapping landslide sites throughout the state of Arizona. And I want to keep Dr. Allison on because I want to talk about that. I also want to talk about the fact that we've got a day of preparation coming where we want to focus everyone's attention on being prepared for a national disaster. Now, in Arizona, it doesn't sound like to me earthquake is going to be that imminent thing we need to be prepared for, but it never hurts to be prepared. When we get back, we'll be talking more about the earthquake swarm, the landslide map, as well as being prepared, all with Dr. Lee Allison of the Arizona Geological Survey when we get back.